Welcome to the Gifters Podcast. I'm your host, Christopher Kai. This podcast is sponsored by the GPS Online Program, which teaches you how to turn your story into a successful speaking and online coaching business. For more information, go to ChristopherKai.com. Our guest today is David Hood. He is an adjunct instructor, flight commander, and course author. David, welcome to our podcast.
Well, thank you for having me.
I always am fascinated by people that have a very eclectic experience. In your case, you work at Microsoft, but you're also in the Air National Guard. So let's just first talk about Microsoft, where a lot of our listeners are entrepreneurs, executives, speaker, author, coaches. They either want to perhaps work for Microsoft or perhaps work as a keynote speaker there. So first of all, how did you get into the world of working at one of the top companies in the world? What do you feel allowed you to create this opportunity for yourself?
You know, that's a great question. And I think for me and my story particularly, it's a little unique. And it really started with my military career. And quite frankly, you build a network over your years of experience working with a variety of different people and individuals. And so you build that Rolodex, so to speak. And so I was working at a utility company at the time, working with the CIO's office on some innovative projects, and you get a phone call just right out of the blue. From a friend of mine who I was active duty with years ago. And we'd still stayed connected, so it wasn't quite as shocking, but still, nonetheless, you know, kind of abrupt call and said, hey, we've got an opening. You really should take a look at it. And a passion of mine had always been to, you know, work for an organization like Microsoft. And so I said, you know, what's the worst that could happen? You know, let me throw my hat into the ring, go through the process. And through that, you know, and I will say that the interviewing process is not simple. It's not easy. Most organizations have a pretty, you know, complex interviewing process as well. But, you know, taking what I've learned in the military, taking what I've learned in my career as an IT professional and as a leader, you know, I went through the ropes and we did the interviewing process. And they say the rest is history. I've been with the organization now for almost, you know, 4.5 years. And so, I credit my buddy, you know, Andy, who quite frankly, who just kind of called me out of the blue, took a moment to think about me and say, hey, you know, you want to jump over? And I was, you know, the rest was history. So.
No, that's great. And I stress that because a lot of times, like I used to work for American Express in New York and Wall Street, Fortune 100 company, Microsoft is a Fortune 100 company. But the thing is, when you're trying to get types of clients at this scale, you have to understand the mindset and the caliber of who you're talking to. And so I wanted you to really share about that. So really the network is important, but also I'm guessing the quality of your work, because again, your friend, though he is your friend, but still he recognizes your quality of work. And so I want to really our listeners to know that it really comes down to who you know, but also what you know about yourself that you can add value to a company like Microsoft. So thank you for sharing that element. Now, you're in the National Guard, and a lot of people hear about the Army and the Air Force and the Navy and the Coast Guard. But what about the National Guard? I know it has National Guard in the actual title, but in case our listeners don't know what the National Guard does, what is the main role of the National Guard in the U.S.?
That's a great question. A lot of people confuse us with the reserves. And, you know, the way I describe it is the reserves is a federal part-time component of the military, and where all branches can participate in the reserves. So you can actually have Marine and Navy and reservists that work, you know, for those branches as well. And the Guard, and specifically the Air National Guard, that is a also part-time component that falls under you know, Air National Guard and, you know, Reserve Command, but only the Army and the Air Force actually have a Guard component, and they operate at the state level. So when individuals take whether it's an oath of enlistment or, you know, make any kind of commitment to the Air Force or Army at their state, they're committing to both the state and the country. And so if, say, for example, some sort of state emergency duty situation comes up, from flooding to natural disasters or civil unrest, where the governor steps in and says, hey, I'm going to activate the Guard, that's where we come in and provide you know, some sort of support and componentry backup, if you will, to critical services, whether it's, you know, first responders or communication support or, you know, you name it, we're there. And so that's where we come in. And then there's also the federal mission as well, where, you know, the president and the Department of Defense can step in and say, hey, you know what, I need this resource or these skilled individuals to deploy overseas or support a federal mission in some, you know, place in the States, they have that capability as well. So we really kind of are dual branched in a sense to support both the state and the federal government.
See, what confuses me, David, is like, let's say I'm from New York, born and raised, and I used to work for the World Trade Center and Wall Street. So there, you know, there's a lot of terrorist activity there, unfortunately. And you have the NYPD, and then you have the CIA, and then you have the Secret Service, and then you have the FBI. Like, there's all these various people. So I'm curious for you, like, as an Air National Guard, and you're a combat operations flight commander, at least from my civilian standpoint, there just seems to be a lot of intersections. And so how do you manage that when you're working with, again, I'm presuming, I don't know if these is even accurate, but it sounds like there's just so many resources, local, national, federal, international. And how do you go about working with so many different types of people?
That's a great question, Chris. And I think for us, and as a role as a leader, we work very closely with both our state and federal component leaders. So we have higher headquarters individuals that are, you know, kind of master chess players, if you will, especially when a situation like a terror event, or, you know, I'll even go back a little bit more recent into the storms that hit, you know, the Caribbean, Puerto Rico, up through, you know, the Florida Keys area. We had a guard unit in Puerto Rico that was hit pretty hard. And there was some Air Force bases in Florida that were also hit pretty hard. And so at that moment, there's obviously clear devastation. There's a loss of critical services and infrastructure that are necessary to maintain their mission down there. And they don't just go and tap one state or one component or one resource to provide assistance. They really kind of extend multiple feelers out through their channels of requesting support and escalations. And then various states will respond based on resource availability and accessibility and, you know, ease of deployment. So it really becomes a prioritization effort. And as a flight commander, we get involved because we start to assess what is mission ready, what is ready to go right out the door, right in that moment, what kind of people can we send out the door in that moment. And we start putting our resources together, kind of like the way a coach does with their players in a sporting event, right? We start tapping our first string folks and saying, okay, get in the game. It's time to go. In the military, it's a little bit shorter notice because in that situation with Puerto Rico, for example, we had to tap some folks on the shoulder rather quickly to say, hey, be ready to go because we're going to start getting mobilization ready so that we can go down there and provide them with some critical infrastructure because their communications was down for a good duration while that storm had affected their area. So situations like that come up, you know, fairly frequently. For the most part, though, you know, most of our operational support is done at the state level because that's really our primary mission, is to support the state. But in those situations, those larger disasters or terror events or things like that, there is nothing that stops multiple agencies, multiple states, multiple entities from converging depending on the severity and criticality of an event.
That's fascinating, David. First, thank you for your service to our great country. And my last question is, what do you most enjoy about being in the Air National Guard?
That's a great question. Hands down, it's the people. I've been a huge supporter from when I was active duty. I'm as patriotic as they come, and I love the organization and what they do. And I love putting on that uniform. But I've had the great privilege of working with some really amazing people, and I have some really awesome folks that work with me, for me, and we just do some really awesome things. We're going to be heading out the door here in a little while for a 6-month tour and overseas, and so we're going to be doing that together. And I've been married for a long time. I told my wife, I said, you know, when putting on this uniform isn't fun anymore and I don't enjoy working with the people, I probably will start to plan my retirement. And that hasn't come yet, and I don't think it's going to come anytime soon. So that would be my, in a short, sweet note, that would be my answer there, is just, you know, working with some really awesome people.
Yeah, and for a great cause. And I hope our listeners really take your example as a way to live their life, because again, money, happiness, all the other things that we talk about, but really it sounds like you have this great group of people you work with and work for, but most importantly, we have this great purpose and this mission to really keep our Americans safe. So David, thank you so much for being on our podcast. How can our guests connect and stay in touch with you?
I am on LinkedIn. David Hood, and it's a very common name, but I can get you the link. And if you want to share that out with your viewers and listeners, that would be probably the best way of getting a hold of me. That's probably the best way to go about it.
Great. Yeah. It's David L. Hood and LinkedIn. Yeah.
Yep.
David, thank you so much for being on our podcast. Have a great day.
No, thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the Gifters Podcast. If you want to learn how to turn your story into a successful speaking and online coaching business, go to christopherkai.com to learn more.